Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. Okay, parents, it's that time again, VBS, Vacation Bible School. Our times this year are going to be May 27th to May 31st, 10 to 12:30. We're going to have classes for all ages. For more information or to register, visit our website at churchofchristwasilla.com. Our theme this year is going to be Heroes of the Bible. We always have a wonderful time. We hope to see you there. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we hope you will stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. The book of Acts, in some versions, is called the Acts of the Apostles. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, records some of the acts of some of the apostles of our Lord. Our text is in chapter 2 and verse 21 from the New King James translation. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts chapter 2, verse 21. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Understanding the meaning of the expression, "whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved," is a critical issue. Why is calling on the name of the Lord such a critical issue? It's critical because calling on the name of the Lord is necessary for salvation. It's necessary to call on the name of the Lord in order to go to heaven. The context of this verse requires some knowledge of the background information to accurately answer the apostles' declaration. While Jesus was on earth, He promised to establish His church or His kingdom. Turn with us and read Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Jesus, as the Christ, the Son of God, promised to build His church. That would be in the future. The Lord affirmed that even death and the gates of Hades would not hinder His purpose nor negate His plan to establish His church or kingdom on the earth. Later, Jesus told His apostles that His kingdom or church would come in their lifetime. Listen, assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Jesus simply said, some of you right here will not die until I establish my kingdom. Subsequently, Jesus was crucified. He arose from the dead the third day, as he promised. Details of our Lord's mock trial, the beatings, and nailing the Son of God to a cross as a common criminal, his burial, and his resurrection is recorded in the last chapters of the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you would do well to read these chapters carefully. Moments before Jesus ascended to heaven, Luke writes, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait, or stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, that is, clothed, invested, and armed with power from on high. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. After Jesus arose, Luke writes in chapter 1 and verse 3 of Acts that Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom or the church of God. Acts 1:3. He informs us that Jesus was assembled together with his apostles, and he commanded the apostles not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me. Verse 4. Jesus had made this promise, you'll recall, that we read in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1 and Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Remember, our Lord promised these men that the kingdom or the church would come into existence and be established in their lifetime. Luke elaborates on the ascension of Jesus. Continue with us as we read Acts chapter 1 and beginning in verse 6. When they therefore had come together, they, the 11 apostles, asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Matthias was chosen as an apostle to replace Judas, who had hanged himself. Matthias was added to the 11 apostles. Acts chapter 1 and verse 26. Beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, Luke describes the coming power of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles as Jesus had promised to them only a few weeks earlier. Open your Bibles and read with us beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how hear we each in our own language in which we were born?" Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The apostles, these Galileans, some of whom were fishermen by trade, were speaking in languages other than their native tongue. Everyone heard and understood what the 12 apostles were saying in his or her own language. That very large crowd of people from at least 16 different countries had come to Jerusalem to attend the feast of Pentecost just 50 days after our Lord Jesus had been crucified. When this sound, the miracle of 12 men speaking in different languages, the multitude came together and were amazed, astonished, and perplexed, and asked, "What does this mean?" Verse 12. Some said they were drunk, but Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." That would be 9 o'clock our time. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." What was it? "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." And note this verse, verse 21, our text. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Peter said, "We're not drunk. It's only the third hour, 9 o'clock, the way we measure time, and folks generally are not inebriated that time of the morning." Then Peter informed the crowd that the occurrence that they were witnessing was an Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled at that very moment, and that prophecy was spoken by Joel, Joel chapter 2, 28 through 31. Then Peter affirms from our text in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 2 and verse 21. Observe these 4 points in this verse. Number 1, the scope, whosoever, includes anyone and everyone. Number 2, the action, call, implies action must be taken. Number 3, the medium, the name of the Lord, through whom we go. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. This expression refers to the Lord's identity, to his authority. Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16 and verse 18. Again, the Lord declared, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Jesus told his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Salvation is in no other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Number 4, the blessing shall be saved means person will have forgiveness and remission of sins. Those people will have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. People who will read and study seriously the Scriptures will mostly agree on 3 of the 4 points. Namely, that Christ, the Lord, does not discriminate. He wants everybody in every nation to be saved and come to Him. That Christ is the Savior of all, and we all must go through Him in order to be saved. He is our mediator. Most would agree that going to heaven, being saved, is surely a blessing. But confusion, ignorance, men's false teachings, and simple rejection of doing what Jesus commands swirl around the meaning of calling on the name of the Lord. Observe some foundational principles of correct biblical interpretation and explanation of the Scriptures in context and in harmony with other passages on the same subject. Commentator Wayne Jackson wrote, "You cannot assign a meaning to a verse that is adverse, that is opposite to instruction in other texts dealing with the same subject." B. No passage with lesser information on a subject may deplete the material from a passage that has a greater amount of information on the same subject. C. A more expansive text may supplement a passage with less information. D. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, and therefore is in complete agreement with itself. Whatever calling on the name of the Lord means, it cannot mean something contradictory and different to other verses teaching what the Lord commands to do to be saved. Let's look at some passages that will help explain Acts chapter 2:21 in determining what it means to call on the name of the Lord. First, let's remove some misconceptions of what it means to call on the Lord. Just calling the Lord's name is not what calling on the name of the Lord to be saved means. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Further, Luke states, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. A person may call out the words "Lord, Lord," and believe factual information about Jesus, such as, "I believe Jesus lived. I believe Jesus is God's Son. I believe Jesus died on the cross." Jesus teaches that just saying the words "Lord, Lord" is not enough. He teaches that one must do something. They must take some action, and they must obey. He who does the will of the Father. Listen to Peter's teaching about Jesus and how many of the Jews responded to his instruction. Verse 21 through 38 of our text in Acts chapter 2. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow along in your Bibles as we read beginning in chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate purpose and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Skipping down to verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Lord Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, Call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Those who believe what Peter told them about Jesus and how they were guilty of crucifying Jesus, they asked Peter and the apostles this question, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now we have heard. Now we acknowledge killing God's Son. Now we believe. Now we're ready to change and make right our sins. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter told them what they must do. Repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, verse 38. For the remission of sins, in verse 38, is equivalent to shall be saved in verse 21. This is a prime example of letting another verse of Scripture, verse 38, with more information, supplement a verse of Scripture, verse 21, with less information. The people on Pentecost did not just say words, Lord, Lord, but did what the Lord commanded by turning from their sinful deeds against the Savior. That's repentance. Now, they were willing to confess Him to be the Christ whom they had crucified. Having gladly heard the good news, the gospel, 3,000 were immersed in water, baptized, for the forgiveness of their sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. They were saved by calling on the name of the Lord. That, my friends, is how one calls on the name of the Lord, by asking the question, receiving the answer, and then doing what the Lord commanded to be saved. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Okay, parents, it's that time again. VBS, Vacation Bible School. Our times this year are going to be May 27th to May 31st, 10 to 12:30. We're going to have classes for all ages. For more information or to register, visit our website at churchofchristwasilla.com. Our theme this year is going to be Heroes of the Bible. We always have a wonderful time. We hope to see you there. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.